Noon. Welcome. It's awesome to have a full room of people here to join our committee. I'm Representative Garen Tarr, joined today by Representative Sarah Hannon, Representative Dave Tellerico, Representative Ivy Sponholz, Representative Sarah Rasmussen, Vice Chair Representative Greyer Hopkins, Co-Chair Representative Lincoln. Please let the quorum reflect that we do have a committee to conduct business. The time is 1:04 p.m. as we get started. If we could please ask everyone to silence their cell phones, we would appreciate that. Assisting us today is our recording secretary, Ms. Debbie Tillinghast, and we have Jamie Buhner. Is that right? All right. Thank you. Joining us as well. And our LIO moderator, Brett Mello. Thank you for your help today. Today, we have two items on our agenda, but it's looking like we may only to get to the first one based on the level of interest here. So first we have HR 12, a resolution to commit a special committee on climate change. And then we have HB 27, regulation of flame retardant chemicals. So we're going to do the public testimony first, and it's our first committee hearing with any public testimony. So I'm going to try and remember how all of this works, but just a couple of announcements, because it's always a goal for me to be as inclusive as possible and make sure everyone's comments are included. And so what we have done so far with this resolution is we have posted online all of the emails we received at our House Resources at akledge.gov email, but I have many more that I also received in my personal email. So I want to make the announcement for this bill and any bill going forward, if you could please help us, as we want to make sure we get all of your comments included in the public record. The best email address to use is house.resources@akledge.gov. And so if you've sent one to another legislator and want to forward that on, you know, please feel free. We'll make sure that one gets included. I also wanted to mention that just on the behalf of committee members, so that if your constituents are emailing you directly, just to remind folks that if you want those comments from your constituents included in the public record, to get them to our office, and we'll do that. And then there's a new policy this year, and this will be true for any of the bills that we hear, that instead of our staff, who I want to give a shout out to Thatcher, who worked till about 11 p.m. last night to get all those letters entered into the public record. So on the back end, what you don't see is that the staff are collating all of those and making sure they get put online. And in an effort to do that job as effectively as possible, what they're going to do this year going forward for all bills in any committee is there'll be one posting of all the letters of support and then one PDF file that's all the letters of opposition. And so if you're kind of looking, it's not just that there's one letter, but there's like one packet that they're going to try to compile for each committee hearing. So those were just a couple of housekeeping items as we get started here today. Again, it's house.resources@akledge.gov. And members, please send us your emails if you want your constituent emails included, and then look for those searchable documents. That's the other value in that. There'll be searchable documents, and so if you're, you know, looking for specific comments about something, you'll be able to find them. Okay, so without any further delay, want to go ahead and invite the bill sponsor staff forward. Mr. Grabman, if you could please join us at the table. And as I understand it, the bill sponsor is in a budget subcommittee, and so you are here on his behalf, and he may be joining us at some point.
Yes, we'll see how that plays out. For the record, my name is Nathaniel Grabman, staff to Representative Josephson. He regrets that he is currently chairing a finance subcommittee meeting down the hall, and he may have to run off and go to finance committee itself, so he may or may not be here at some point. We're looking forward to public testimony. We also have a blank CS, and I'm not sure what the committee's will is for.
I think we are going to have a motion to entertain that CS.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the committee substitute for HR 12, working draft 31-LS0817/S as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
I can go through the changes if you'd like.
Please.
All right. As there aren't sections on this, I'll just be saying page and line if that's okay. The first one is page one, line one. It changes the name of the committee to be created to House Special Committee on Climate Policy. The desire that was done to emphasize a desire that the committee would focus on forward-looking actions, which the legislature and others could take, rather than simply doing more research and creating reports, that sort of thing. Page 1, lines 8 through 16, and page 2, lines 1 through 5, would add a number of new whereas statements with specific information related to record heat and fires during the summer of 2019, as well as a statement on drought, which has been an issue which was not originally involved. Page 2, line 18, would replace the word melting with thawing. The section dealing with permafrost is defined as ground, including rock and soil, which has been continually below freezing for two or more years. While ice water can be present, it's not necessarily all ice, and because the rock and soil is not itself turning into a liquid, it would make more sense to have thawing as the word there. Page 2, lines 21 through 31, add some new whereas statements with information relating to Trans-Alaska Pipeline System maintenance costs for Alaskan infrastructure and village relocation. And then page 3, lines 2 through 7, rephrase some existing whereas statements for sort of grammar and clarification. And I can go into more detail if you'd like, but yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Grabman. Appreciate that. Are there any questions from committee members for the bill sponsor? No? Okay. I will remove my objection to adopting the CS. Are there any other objections to adopting this committee substitute as the working draft? Okay, seeing none, then we'll adopt this one as the working draft. Thank you, Mr. Grabman. And if you're going to stay with us, we hope to hear the public testimony, but we'll go ahead into public testimony. And I hope that if there are questions for the sponsor, we can maybe hold those to the end. I'm looking at the time here, and I just want to make the announcement to folks. I'm going to try and watch until 1:30 and then make an announcement. At this time, we have about 26 people lined up to testify. We can probably get about 45 if with the time allowed, if we try to stick, you know, to the 2 minutes each. And so I'm just going to keep an eye on things with the goal of just keeping people aware of where we at time-wise. Everybody who signed up right now will have the opportunity to sign to testify, but I just want to let people know as we're inching along where you are in the queue so that people don't wait online if they're not going to have an opportunity, because we could carry over, and we'll just do our best to get to everyone, and I'll have to be pretty mindful of the 2 minutes, so don't mind me when I have to interrupt you in your comments. So thank you, Mr. Grabman. And one other comment I should make before we get started here in the public testimony is just please note that you're in your packets, there's a zero fiscal note from the Resources Committee, and we confirmed to feel comfortable having this fiscal note prepared with the Ledge Affairs Agency, who would do the staffing for the committee. It's not anticipated this committee would have additional legislative staff, but if there are hearings, the folks that are so helpful for us with the LIO moderator and our recording secretaries, those folks through the LAA agency would need to be present so that the committee hearings could be properly staffed and recorded. And the response, we included the email in the packet, says, provided that meetings held during the interim are located at a legislative information office that is staffed year-round, such as in Anchorage or Fairbanks, there would be no additional cost to the Legislative Affairs Agency to provide support to those meetings. So we just wanted to have that clarity of fiscal notes. Thank you, Thatcher.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Can I confirm that the Juno LIO is staffed year-round and the potential for having meetings here would also exist?
Representative Hannon, I believe the Juno LIO is the main Ledge Affairs Agency. Yes. So I don't.
But it's said on there, Anchorage or Fairbanks.
Yes.
And I'm asking whether Juno is included as one of the locations that this committee could meet at.
I would say, Representative Hannon, that was not specifically in the email from Sante, but I'm not sure if that's because we didn't specifically ask. But yes, Juno is staffed year-round, and there'd be no reason it couldn't be.
So, clarification, and I'm guessing, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you as the resources chair or if the sponsor mm-hmm. requested that, and then whether that implies where the the committee would meet if it were going to meet.
Mm-hmm. It happened, basically the Ledge Affairs Agency had not prepared a fiscal note yet, so the Resources Committee prepared one, but for us to be comfortable saying it was a zero fiscal note, we wanted to confirm that they anticipated with the existing staff that they have that they would be able to staff in the appropriate way necessary for recording those. And I just apologize. I think Sante, when she sent that back, maybe just was thinking I'm an Anchorage legislator. Maybe that's why she didn't specifically mention Juneau, but we wanted her to have something in writing for to assure committee members that in fact they had the capacity to do this. And Thatcher's just saying they just use Anchorage and Fairbanks as examples.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're comfortable with that. All right. So moving, oh, yes, and let me just recognize that Representative Tuck joined us at about 1:13.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just so everybody knows that if this bill passes, this resolution passes, that the committee is going to be meeting here in Juneau. But after session ends, all bill dies. And so I guess the question, all bills die after this legislative session. So if there's any bills introduced into this committee, then the committee could potentially meet in the interim for purposes of having presentations, but no action can go any further than after this session. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the question comes in, task force versus working group versus a committee. So I don't know if the fiscal note reflects only through, because they're using using Anchorage and Fairbanks as an example, mm-hmm. assuming that Juneau is going to be handled okay, there won't be any travel. Mm-hmm. We're all here anyway and I think the intent was to have one a month, so we might have two meetings, maybe three if we go a little bit long this session, mm-hmm. Before no action can be taken. So mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why it's a zero fiscal note, is just mm-hmm. not much will be mm-hmm. available.
And Representative Tuck, I appreciate those comments, and I hope that the bill sponsor's office is taking note of them, because I think those are some of the other comments that members have shared in terms of how do we best prioritize this to the extent people think it needs to be prioritized and what's the best way. And hopefully we can come back to that on Monday when we come back for consideration as well. Any other comments or questions before we go to public testimony? Okay. So our numbers were at 31 now, and I think a couple of those are actually staff people, so about 29 people. So it's looking good pretty right now. I'll do my best. Please, when you come up, if you could please state your name for the record, and if you think it needs to be spelled, then go ahead and spell it, and any affiliation you have. And then I will do my best to just politely let you know that your 2 minutes has expired. And occasionally committee members will have questions, and to the extent we have time for that, we'll do that. But also, again, want to be really prioritizing hearing from you. So, yes, Representative Rasmussen.
Could you also ask people to identify for the record what part of the state they're from?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And for folks, if they didn't hear that from Representative Rasmussen, the request would be to say your name and any affiliation and then what part of the state you're from, because, of course, people want to know if you're a constituent. Okay, so we will go ahead and get started. I'm going to do a combination of people in the room and people online. And if you're in the room and haven't signed up outside of the room, please sign up on the sheet right outside the door so we'll get you on the list. First person is Terry Chapin from the Fairbanks LIO.
Thank you. My name is Terry Chapin. I live in Fairbanks, House Precinct 4, and I'd like to speak in support of the resolution. I've studied climate change effects on Alaskan ecosystems and communities for the last 50 years, and also participated in Alaskan national and international climate assessments. And all of these assessments show patterns of climate warming, where Alaska is warming about twice as fast as the rest of the planet as a whole. And some of the consequences of that are already listed in the House Resolution 12. What the new news, as far as I'm concerned, is the urgency of taking action on climate change. Within the last couple of years, it's become increasingly clear that urgent action is needed. For example, it's likely that within that by 2070, about 3.5 billion people will be living at a temperature that's warmer than the current heart of the Sierra Desert. That's likely to induce massive migration. So this, what this means is that today's youth, people living today, are going to experience these drastic changes in climate and the resulting societal consequences. And since Alaska is at the front lines of climate change, I think it's really important that the state take take steps towards policymaking. It's an opportune time to do this because many of the cities in Alaska are already moving forward with climate change planning. But what we lack is a concerted effort at the state government level to support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chapin. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go to Kent Barkow in the Sitka LIO.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Kent Barkow. I'm here in Sitka. That's B-A-R-K-H-A-U. And as I'm sitting here thinking about my comments, and listening to Mr. Chapman's comments, I really agree with Mr. Chapman and his assessment and articulation of where we are and demonstrating or elucidating the need to act. My views parallel those of Mr. Chapman, that we need at the state level to be looking ahead and preparing for what's coming. It's not only it's here now, but more of it's coming in the future, and we need to be prepared. And I'm not alone with Mr. Chapman in that view. The Yale Center for Climate Communications does polling across the nation and across the state, and they find that 75% of Americans recognize climate change and the need and want our members of Congress and want action to counter the climate change. That includes 75% of Republican voters that are under age 30. And, it's in everybody's interest to deal with this really significant problem. And Alaskans demand that we plan for our future and we respond to this threat. And I see it as the special interests against Alaskans in ignoring what's taking place with the climate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barkow. We appreciate your testimony. Are there any questions for the testifier? Okay. Seeing none, thank you. Our next individual will be Michael Tobin here in the room, and then we'll do Lynette Pham afterwards.
Thank you, Co-Chair Tarr and Co-Chair Lincoln and members of the House Resources Committee. My name is Michael Tobin. I live here in Juneau. I'm a board member of 350 Juneau Climate Action for Alaska. And basically the whereas portion of HR 12 and our own experience lay out many of the reasons Alaska needs this committee. As people have noted, the state is warming about twice as fast as the rest of the country. South Central residents are experiencing hot, smoky summers consecutively. After several years of drought and in light of firestorms in California and Australia, including in their rainforests, residents of Southeast Alaska are becoming aware that our forests could burn too. I might note that Paradise, California has the same population as Juneau and was utterly destroyed by fire. The global warming of a few years ago has become the climate crisis of today. I get tired of listing this stuff, but thawing permafrost, lack of sea ice, melting glaciers, shorter snow seasons, thinner river ice, acidifying oceans, heat, drought, fire, animal die-offs, all areas of our lives are or will be affected. This is not the new normal. This is just the early stage of the climate emergency, which is promising to be rapidly changing and unpredictable. Climate scientists talk about tipping points beyond which change happens in accelerated ways. In other words, if you poke the sleeping bear enough, the bear wakes up angry. Did you know, for example, that in 2018, temperatures in winter Siberia were 70, this is the winter in Siberia, degrees above normal Fahrenheit. Did you know that in February in northern Greenland, it was above freezing for several days in a row? Why is Greenland's ice sheet melting at 5 to 9 times historical rates? I support H.R. 12 creating a special committee on climate change as one way to evaluate legislation from a climate perspective.
Mr. Tobin, apologies, but your 2 minutes has expired. If you could please wrap up.
Conduct investigations and propose legislation to increase our ability to adapt to climate change and do what we can to combat it. Thank you.
Thank you. And are you from Juneau, Mr. Tobin?
I am.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Next is Lynette Pham. Please come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair and co-chairs and committee. My name is Lynette Pham from Unalaska, Alaska, and I'm speaking in support of House Resolution 12. Before I share my story, I would like to say and share gratitude to the Thlinkit people for this opportunity to be on their land today and give thanks for their stewardship. For those listening, I ask you to make your heart and mind present in this space we share, to understand me as if you were in my place. I am here because I am scared to lose my home. Alaska is the only place that has given me a home. This is where the people I love live. Home is where we are supposed to feel safe. Everywhere, as in the resolution, is the reason why our home is no longer safe. Both my parents immigrated to the U.S. to escape the wars and colonization that destroyed their countries. They met in Unalaska working for the fishing industry, giving them job security, food, insurance, a safe place to call home, and a good school for my sisters and I to go to. These opportunities to life gave them a second chance, so to me, fish is more than food and an economy. Without fish, my life would not exist. So as water's warm, causing salmon, halibut, and cod to die, what will happen to families like mine? I ask you to protect us. Us, as in all of you, indigenous people, immigrants, animals, the land, the water, and the plants. As representatives, you represent all that lives and breathes in your district in Alaska. If you vote for H.R. 12 to create a climate change committee to actively work on the climate catastrophe, it means you hear our pain and want to take responsibility to help us. H.R. 12 would help us heal from the destruction and extractive industry to be healthy and become whole again through an indigenous-led just transition. So I ask you, do you want us to heal, and do you want to heal with us? If yes, please vote in support of H.R. 12. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pham. Any questions for the testifier? Thank you for joining us. Next, we will go back online, and I'm going to call on Eric Jordan from the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee.
Hi, dear House Resources. My name is Eric Jordan in Sitka. I am a lifelong Alaska fisherman and 40-plus year member of the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I have written comments, which will be attached, which is a copy of a declaration of a climate change emergency in the Sitka area by our committee last November 13th, adopted. I strongly support formation of a House Special Committee on Climate Change. The resolution asks the governor and legislature, among others, to take effective action needed to address this emergency. I also want to read a couple whereases from our resolution. Whereas the Mount Edgecombe and Sitka Higher Environmental Clubs, who represent over 15 communities and at least 4 different tribal groups across the state of Alaska, who are facing hardships directly correlated with climate change, such as changing ocean conditions and precipitation patterns that adversely impacts the fisheries and ecosystem for which they rely on for culture, subsistence, and economy, our ability to generate hydroelectricity, the occurrence of algae blooms and paralytic shellfish poisoning, coastal erosion, the integrity of our infrastructure, and the health and safety of our people, have asked the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee to support their resolution declaring a climate change emergency. That should be attached to ours down the line. Anyway, in conclusion, thank you, and thank Ms. Representative Anna Josephson to take an initiative to found this committee. I cannot emphasize enough the urgency of taking action on this incredible problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jordan. And if you want to send that along to house.resources@akledge.gov, we'll make sure that's included in the public testimony and in the role as an advisory committee. I think that's, you know, that's exactly what you're all appointed to do is help with those issues. So we'd appreciate receiving that. I am going to come back here in the room and go to Sally Schlittling-ting. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'm not getting that quite right. And then we'll go to Richard Farnell after that, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Co-Chair Tarr and Co-Chair Lincoln and committee members. My name is Sally Schlichting. That's spelled S-C-H-L-I-C-H-T-I-N-G. I am a 50-year resident of Juneau, and I'm here to represent myself. I support H.R. 12 to create a special committee on climate change. Across our state, our communities are struggling to cope with rapid changes and impacts as a result of global warming. Not only is our state warming faster and facing some of the most extreme effects of climate change, but we're also the largest state in the country facing this challenge. As you and your colleagues work to solve our state's budget problems, I urge you to view climate impacts through a fiscal lens. Coastal erosion, thawing permafrost, forest fires, and drought here in Southeast pose infrastructure costs that are in the billions. Banks, insurance companies, and investment firms are moving away from businesses, infrastructure, and real estate that have climate risks. Their decisions will affect Alaska's bottom line. This is why a special committee on climate change is an opportunity to focus on legislation that can climate-proof our budget and ensure community resilience. Legislation could include energy conservation and efficiency, incentives to transition to renewable energy, and addressing our state's infrastructure vulnerabilities. Such measures will allow our communities to thrive and grow in a changing world, but also reduce state expenditures over the long term. We are a big state on the front lines of climate change. We need the special committee to give this challenge the attention it requires. I urge you to pass H.R. 12. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. Ms. Schlichting, I know that you are not here representing a group, but I also know that you have some personal expertise and a professional background working in water issues in the state of Alaska. And could you share any insight as to whether agencies are appropriately addressing the impacts that you might have seen in your former capacity working in?
So I was formerly with the Department of Environmental Conservation, working for the Division of Spill Prevention and Response. And it is not my understanding at all from the other programs, such as the Division of Water, that climate change is being evaluated. I don't think that DEC is the appropriate agency to kind of head up climate change. They don't have the capacity right now to do that. So I'm sure they have the interest, but they don't have the capacity. So.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to have Richard Farnell, and then just in the queue on the off-net's going to go to Conrad Shad, and then Alyssa Quintine. Mr. Farnell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dick Farnell. I'm a resident of Juneau. I'm here representing myself, and I support H.R. 12. I went online and listened to last week's presentation to the Committee on Alaska's Climate Change by climatologist Brian Brett Schneider. There were a lot of scary things in there, as you probably remember. However, I was encouraged to hear and read some of the actions being taken by Norway to meet the climate challenge. Some of the things I discovered in this review were, First, they have a big priority on electrifying road transportation. In the first half of 2019, Norway led the world in electric vehicle sales, which were 56% of their vehicle sales in that first half of the year. By the end of last March, over 7.9% of all passenger cars in Norway were zero-emission vehicles. Second, they are capturing and storing CO2 emissions from cement production. Third, they're ramping up the use of biofuels. Fourth, they're, since 1991, Norway has had a carbon tax on their offshore drilling production, and this was increased in 1999. By 2018, around 80% of their greenhouse gas emissions were taxed. Fifth, the carbon sink by Norway's forest is extensive and is approximately one half of their annual emissions. They've been increasing their forest cover as well. The volume in growing wood increased between 2008 and 2017 by over 23%. Using Norway as a model seems like a good way to start addressing the climate challenges that Dr. Brettschneider outlined. It seems like HR 12 is a good starting point for this. Therefore, I encourage the committee to pass out HR 12. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? I'd appreciate the what you're referring to with some of those ideas. If you wouldn't mind sharing that to us, that'd be helpful. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to the off-nets, and we have Conrad Shad. Apologies for mispronunciations.
Yeah, hello. My name is Conrad Shad, S-C-H-A-A-D, from Homer, Alaska. I'm a commercial fisherman. And it's pretty obvious that the changes that are happening out in the fishing grounds, from the blob that's killing the cod, the ocean acidification that's damaging the shells of baby crabs, etc. Up north, permafrost is melting. The polar ice doesn't have an ice cap for a good part of the winter, which is just like a tea kettle, and you take the lid off. There's so much heat escaping there, just accelerating the whole process of our climate change. And we in Alaska, we certainly notice it more than other places. There are still people denying this, but there's also people out there that still claim the Earth is flat. We need to get on the bandwagon and address the issues that we should have addressed 20 or 30 years ago when we first learned about them. So I strongly support HR 12 for the formation of a board addressing these issues. And there's always people worried that it will hurt the economy if we actually acknowledge the problems. There is so much money to be made by addressing the issues from solar panels, windmills installations, and production. I just bought quite a few solar panels. And they're not made in America. They're made in Canada, because in America we're still supporting coal mines. So I strongly support HR 12 and be a little more proactive than the rest of the nation at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you for joining us. Next, we're going to go to Alyssa Quintain from Fairbanks, and then we'll come back here in the room for the next folks in the queue, which will be Summers Cole and then Elaine Schroeder. Alyssa?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go forward.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Resources Committee. My name is Alyssa Quinton. I'm a resident here in Fairbanks on Chena Dene land. I am a community organizer here in the interior with the Alaska Center, and also a volunteer with the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, so I'm very happy to be testifying in support of HR 12. I've lived in Fairbanks since I was six, so 2001, and I've lived through all the many impacts and storms and fires in the interior that have gotten worse. Our fires are getting uncontrollable, our homes and our roads are sinking from permafrost melt, our villages are being flooded, our hunting and farming seasons are consistently changing and kind of unpredictable at this point. And we know that this is going to continue to get worse. We've known that climate change has been happening. We know that our industrial and governmental decisions are exacerbating this crisis. And we've known that we've needed to act for like the past 40 plus years. We've seen the previous legislative session struggle to pass holistic legislation and urgent action on climate. And because of that lack of action, many communities have had to step up and take initiative to act on climate. But it's not just our responsibility to act. We elected you all to provide the funding, the efforts, and the authority to do those actions and projects that we can. This committee provides a space for communities, experts, and elected leaders to come together and develop those solutions and adaptations to this climate crisis in a just and equitable and accountable way. I am, you know, just as my friend Lynette Sam had mentioned, this is not just healing work. This is not just urgent work, but it's healing work, and it's exactly what we need to do right, like yesterday. So we need to get the ball rolling. I am beyond ready to start this process with not only this committee, with a special committee when it passes the legislature, but with my own community as well. And my ask to you is, could you get ready too? Because we're already ready, and we've got to get the ball rolling if we want a state to live in. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. We appreciate that. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, seeing none, we have Summers Cole and Elaine Schroeder here in the room. Then I'll go back up to Anchorage, Mara Kimmel, and then Eric Meter.
Hi. Good afternoon, co-chairs Tarr and Lincoln, members of the House Resources Committee. My name is Summers Cole. I'm a commercial fisherman from Juneau, and today I'm speaking on behalf of myself in support of H.R. 12. I want to thank you for publicly recognizing the importance of proactively addressing the consequences of a rapidly changing climate. The sponsor statement says, a changing environment presents both challenges and opportunities. I think this is true. In fisheries, we are observing increased variability and abundance of commercially harvested species like Pacific cod and king salmon. There have been observable range shifts further north for many species in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska, continued concern regarding ocean acidification, and increased encounters with species less common to Alaskan waters like blue sharks and certain types of squid. Add to these challenges coastal erosion associated with the retreat of Bering Sea ice, record wildfire seasons in recent years, and thawing permafrost in the interior North Slope, and we have very tangible problems on our hands. But as the sponsor statement mentions, these challenges also present opportunities. Range shifts and changes in ocean ecosystems may increase abundance for some commercially viable species. Maybe we'll have an albacore or a squid fishery someday, or possibly a salmon fishery in the Arctic. Perhaps because of kelp's ability to effectively sequester carbon, we can grow our burgeoning mariculture industry and eventually connect it to carbon offset markets. Some of our forests are already being managed for carbon sequestration. Could Alaska grow that opportunity in the future? For decades, researchers have been focusing efforts in Alaska to better understand the rates, causes, and mechanisms of climate change. What can we do to develop research opportunities in our state? How can we position Alaska to be a leader in renewable energy and innovation while simultaneously lowering energy costs, especially in rural areas? All of these challenges, opportunities, and questions will require forward-thinking policy solutions. It is encouraging to see a real desire to establish a forum for those discussions to take place and innovative solutions to be actualized. Thank you for your effort on this, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, appreciate the testimony. Next, we have Elaine Schroeder.
My name is Elaine Schroeder, and I've lived in Juneau for 40 years. I brought Greta Thunberg with me today, and there's a great reason why Greta was chosen by Time Magazine to be Person of the Year 2019. It's because the climate crisis is the world's crisis, is the world's emergency of the year and the years to come. The reason I'm supporting H.R. 12 is because in some ways our lives depend on it. That may sound hyperbolic, but Alaska is dangerously behind most of the U.S. and certainly the developed world addressing climate destabilization. I understand that this is a hot topic for this administration and the powerful oil lobby, but politics are not the issue here. It's the scientific truth. That's all that matters, and it matters a great deal if we want to live on, if we want a livable planet. We're facing an unprecedented global climate emergency. Life on Earth is in crisis. Scientists agree that we've entered a period of abrupt climate breakdown, and we're facing mass extinction. Just yesterday in the Juno Empire, there were two articles about what's going on in Alaska. One, a serious decline in Cook Inlet beluga whale population, specifically, according to a NOAA fisheries report, quote, the population is estimated to be smaller and declining more quickly than previously thought. On the same page was another article about the early closure of the hunting season for the Mulchatna caribou herd, whose population has dropped to half the size it was 3 years ago. The effects of climate disruption that we're experiencing now are nothing compared to what will come. Catastrophic effects on human society and the natural world will spiral out of control if the climate emergency isn't addressed in time. And we in Alaska are at ground zero. The 2018 United Nations IPCC report stated, quote, limiting global warming to 1.5 would require rapid and far-reaching unprecedented changes in all aspects of society, and that includes Alaska. A recent report, are we done?
Yes, apologies, but your 2 minutes has expired.
Okay, great.
Do you have a last wrap-up comment?
Yes. To minimize or deny the reality and urgency of the state's danger is to deny Alaskans and all of humanity a livable planet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the testifier? And if you please submit that, then we'd love to read the remainder that you weren't able to share.
Thank you.
Next is Mayor Kimmel up in Anchorage, then Eric Meter. Then we're going to go to the Homer LIO for Harry Spence and Joseph Middleton, then to Matt Sue for Shana. Ms. Kimmel?
Hi, this is Mayor Kimmel from Anchorage, and I would, can you hear me?
Yes, please, go for it.
Okay, terrific. Well, I'd like to thank the Chair Tarr and also the Vice Chair of the Resources Committee for the opportunity to speak today, and also I would like to thank the sponsors of the bill for having the foresight to build the capacity at the legislative level to engage more fully in issues of climate mitigation and adaptation planning. And I'd like to focus my comments on more specifically on the need for governance partnerships. And I'm here today speaking as the First Lady of Anchorage, although I'm not speaking officially for the municipality of Anchorage. But as the First Lady of Anchorage, I have been leading a few initiatives at a citywide level, including an initiative to promote community-wide resilience. And also, I have been the chair of the advisory committee to a recently passed municipal-wide climate action plan, which was adopted by the Municipal Assembly in May of 2019. I am also a former member of this Governor Walker's Climate Action Leadership Team, which, as you know, has been disbanded most recently. So I think that my testimony today is going to focus on the need to create governance partnerships between the state and the local governments throughout our state in order to support everybody building adaptation and mitigation capacity through creating good policies and practices that are responsive to the needs of the various communities that we have around the state. And we need to build our capacity to promote good policies and practices in order to make sure that Alaskans are protected from the pretty dramatic changes that everybody else has been testifying to and able to thrive and survive through these dramatic changes. And I'm asking you as a committee to envision all of the ways that we could promote the interest and security of the state's residents if we could enhance government-to-government collaboration, including partnering on issues like climate action planning and helping to make sure that smaller communities have the capacity to plan and adapt to impacts. We can work together to ensure safe and enduring critical infrastructure like our highways, our marine highways, the Port of Alaska, airports. We can think together about new opportunities, including a waste-to-energy plant that the municipality is currently thinking of, where we would partner with communities along the rail belt and hopefully beyond. We could draft and develop energy efficiency codes and other regulatory opportunities that could promote adaptation and mitigation. We could promote jobs for Alaskans in renewable sectors as we're looking to transition into more sustainable economic opportunities that would result in jobs and hopefully opportunities to engage in this new emerging economy that's arising out of climate, including things like fabricating solar panels, which was touched on earlier. We need to partner together to build awareness and education about climate impacts, including the ways that we respond in times of emergency to make sure that all of our state's residents are safe. And we can also band together to think about ways that increasing in-migration to Alaska may be impacting on our communities. So I'm very grateful that this committee is entertaining this motion. I'm very grateful that the sponsors put it together, and I urge you to support this. And we will happily welcome the state to the alliance of partners and communities that have been gathered together to work to ensure our residents are capable of surviving and thriving in the face of this dramatic change. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kimmel. Appreciate your role as First Lady of Anchorage and the initiatives you shared with us. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you. We're going to go then to the next person is Eric Meter, then again to the Homer LIO, Harold Spence, and Joseph Middleton. And for folks following along with the number of individuals we have signed up right now, I feel comfortable saying we'll get to you. But here at about 1:50, if you sign up to testify after now, I think we'll likely run out of time. So I kind of want to say this is probably our cutoff point for testifiers to sign up today. Okay, Mr. Meter.
My name is Eric Meter, and I'm calling in support of H.R. 12, the formation of a climate change committee. I'm representing myself, and I live in Houston, Alaska. My greatest concern, I mean, the global temperature is bad, but my greatest concern is the output of CO2 and the acidification of the ocean because of its domino effect and how it will affect both our subsistence and our economic future in Alaska. Not so much for me, but for my daughter. I mean, I'm already halfway through my life, but my kids just started hers, and this needs to be addressed as soon as possible, and that's the extent of my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Meter. Apologize for mispronouncing your name. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going down to Homer now. Harold Spence?
Yeah, hi. Hello, my name's Harold Spence from Homer, and I'm representing myself. I want to add my voice to that of many others in supporting establishment of a House Special Committee on Climate Policy. The old saw that Alaska is a canary in the coal mine with regards to climate change impacts may be overused, but it is nevertheless true. And it is long past time this state came to grips with the fact that our futures and those of our children are likely to be increasingly uncomfortable for some and intolerable for many. Why a committee of such as the one proposed is not already in existence and working on solutions is an indictment of our legislative institutions that have for far too long been footstools for the oil and gas industry. If the climate committee is formed, I would hope any legislation it considers in the course of its duties will include proposals for policies that represent genuine steps towards the only viable solutions for mitigating the effects of climate change. A rapid gearing up of efforts to exploit Alaska's myriad clean energy resources, and an equally rapid effort to divorce ourselves from fossil fuel dependence. Will that mean disruptions, financial, social, and otherwise? Yes. But the fact is, we have no choice. We owe it to our children. I applaud Representative Josephson and Sponholz for sponsoring H.R. 12, and I urge Representative Sarah Vance to co-sponsor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Spence. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Next, we're going to go to Joseph Middleton, also in Homer. Then we're going to go to Shana at the Matsu. Then here in Juneau in the room to Bob Schroeder and then Mike Heckers. Mr. Middleton?
Joseph Middleton, also known as Jeff. I have lived in Homer all my life, and I have really noticed the effect on climate change, much warmer summers and, as a rule, warmer winters. Also have noticed glaciers across the bay receding, and, of course, statewide effects of glaciers dropping into the ocean, glaciers melting. And I also believe hand in hand with climate change should go would be renewable energy, such as solar, wind, geothermal, wave, and tidal energy, and more. The technology is already, for the most part, there. Perhaps the next committee form should be on renewable energy. I strongly support H.R. 12 and hope it passes, and I thank Mr. Josephson for sponsoring it. Too bad we couldn't turn back the clock 10, 20 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Middleton. We appreciate your testimony today. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to go up to the MATSU LIO to Shana.
Hi, I'm Shana from Faith Christian School and tutoring. My classmates and I support lines 18 through 20 on page 3, which states, whereas the state is the only Arctic state in the nation and is properly positioned to be an active and independent voice in international discourse relating to climate change and adaptation policies independent of the federal government and the U.S. Constitutional and the Bill of Rights gives the federal government limited enumerated authority. All other authority is given to the states and the people. Why should the federal government be involved with this? I am proud to be born in Alaska, the state that is taking the initiative to be the state voice on climate change. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shana. And it says here, just for folks in the room, your affiliation, you're with the Faith Christian School and Tutoring, and you were speaking on behalf of some classmates as well?
Yes.
How many classmates?
Two.
Okay. Well, if that was your first time testifying, good job. We appreciate you joining us today. And if you want to send us any comments, we'd be happy to read those. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today. We're going to go to the Anchorage LIO, Travis Montgomery. And then back to Juneau. Is Travis available?
Hi, Travis Montgomery. It's in St. Mary's Episcopal Church, which is a part of an organization called EFACT, which is a coalition of faith communities in Anchorage that addresses quality of life issues. I'm speaking in support of the resolution. Back in November, we hosted a meeting on our state's changing climate with some representatives and about 225 members of the public. At the meeting, we heard testimony from many folks who were afraid, elders who were afraid that the worlds that they'd leave to their children and grandchildren would be worse than the one they grew up in, children who were afraid that their favorite marine animals wouldn't be around when they become adults, and who were brought to tears at the thought of their future. Families who were afraid that raging fires, melting ice, and rising temperatures will affect their quality of life here in Anchorage and irreparably damage the lifestyle of their loved ones in rural Alaska. This meeting was held at a church, and we held it there because as people of faith, we believe that we are called to serve as stewards of our environment. Part of that call compels us to work for policies and plans that guide our collective response to the challenges of climate change. We know that the challenges that we will face will be great. According to the 2018 National Climate Assessment, infrastructure damage from a warming climate could cost our state between $110 to $270 million per year. We don't have the luxury of waiting. We need action now. We believe that the special committee that would be created by H.R. 12 would be a good platform for our legislature to address the concerns of our changing climate. We urge this committee to move H.R. 12 forward for a vote on the floor of the full House. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Middleton. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to come back into the Juno LAO with Bob Schroeder and then Mike Heckers. And then we're going to go to Samuel Makokas and then Abigail Steffen.
Thank you very much. My name is Bob Schroeder. I applaud the introduction of HB 12, a bill that would allow the House to begin to address the global climate emergency that affects Alaskans disproportionately. I'm hopeful that this first step, forming this committee, will initiate thoughtful fact-finding, deliberation, and actions that may A, begin to reduce the increases in global temperature, and B, mitigate and ameliorate the inevitable effects of global heating on Alaskans. Two good starting points once the committee is getting going and that your committee may wish to consider would be Chapter 26 of the fourth National Climate Assessment, which came out in November 18. It has a breakout for Alaska that really sums up what's going to happen to us, and for the legislative body would have good background information as well. It divides things into six categories. Of marine, terrestrial, human health, indigenous people, economic costs, and adaptation. The other starting point, I think, would be for the committee to actually hear from constituents who are affected by the global climate emergency firsthand. We've heard about ocean acidification. We also know of villages that are eroding into the sea. Finally, I'd really urge the committee, once formed, and your group in moving the bill forward, to have the courage to take a deep look at our fossil fuel extraction industry. Control of methane releases would be a low-hanging fruit to reduce Alaska's inexcusable contribution to global heating. Currently, they're not regulated or controlled, or perhaps not even reported. And obviously, much more bravery will be needed to recognize that most of Alaska's known fossil fuel reserves, not to mention what may yet be discovered, cannot ever be produced and burned if we are to have a livable world. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and I wish you success in this beachhead effort.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Schroeder, could you repeat the name of the report that you referenced, or the book?
The report is the Fourth National Climate Assessment, and that's Chapter 26. This was issued in November 2018. Compiled by, I believe it's either 8 or 10 federal agencies, and it was issued on, congressionally required, and it was issued under the current administration.
Thank you.
Thanks much.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Samuel. Is that you? No. I'm sorry. I almost skipped you. Pardon me. Please come forward.
My name is Mike Heckers. I'm a 22-year resident of Juneau. I live just two blocks from here, but this is only the second time testifying in person. I'm a glaciologist. I really appreciate your efforts to form this committee, but it doesn't nearly go far enough. I'll read you part of an email I wrote to the governor last week. We need to create a climate emergency department. This department would entirely be self-funded. All fossil fuels that are produced or consumed here in Alaska would be taxed, a carbon tax, if you will. Revenues would be spent on households, individuals, utilities, and communities. All revenues would go to minimize fossil fuels or to help communities that are in the way of this climate emergency. Households would receive money from HFC to get them off fossil fuels. Individuals would receive a rebate or incentives for purchasing electric vehicles. Utilities would receive assistance to increase their renewable energy portfolios. And communities like Shishmaref would get assistance to move because of coastal erosion. We must do this for Alaskans, and we must do this for the planet.
Thank you. I was waiting. I wasn't sure if there was an ending. I was writing something. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Heckers, as a professional glaciologist, have you seen any federal or state agencies working on the research you've been working on and using that to come up with specific policies to address this to any satisfaction?
No, not entirely whatsoever. Yeah.
Thank you for your thoughts and recommendations.
Thank you.
And I have a question, Mr. Heckers. As a glaciologist, are you working with any of our research institutions? Do you do independent work? Sort of like what's happening on the ground locally?
I was an instructor and glaciologist at University of Alaska Southeast here up until the budget crisis started four and a half years ago. Mm, yeah.
Okay. And does that course not exist or something anymore?
Yeah, faculty were pink-slipped, and I was one of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Oh, Representative Hannon, follow-up.
Follow-up. Through the chair, Mr. Heckers, do you have any knowledge as to what has happened to the research that you had conducted or the glaciologists at UAS? Is it completely stagnant, or is there any ability for that research to be ongoing in the absence of professors and experts leading that?
Yeah, the research that I was doing on the Mendenhall Glacier has pretty much stopped completely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Next, we're going to go to, and I'm certain I'm going to mispronounce this individual. We're on the off-net, Samuel Makokas from Ketchikan, and then Abigail Steffen from Fairbanks.
Good afternoon, committee members, and thank you for allowing public testimony to be heard. My name is Samuel Nyokas, and I'm a resident of Ketchikan, represent myself. I also serve as an environmental specialist for tribal government, and I frequently work on climate change adaptation planning efforts as part of my work. I'm here today to say I strongly support H.R. 12 and the creation of a climate policy committee. In our lifetimes, the climate crisis will not only forever alter the way Alaskans interact with our environment, but it will take Alaskan livelihoods and lives. No matter where you live in the state, no matter your political views, the current climate emergency threatens Alaskans here and now. It's scary, and it's real, and it's here to stay. By choosing to form a climate policy committee, you'll be taking an important step towards protecting Alaskan lives from this existential threat. This is not just an issue of conservation or environmental protection. This is an issue of fighting for justice for Alaskan communities who are on the front lines of the climate crisis. The climate crisis is not a partisan issue. It's an us versus them issue. It does not claim party allegiances. It doesn't care about stock market returns to the state budget. This threat stalks and threatens all of our communities right now. Whether you believe it is a credible threat or not, the climate crisis will still come for you, just as it already has for many people around the nation and the world. This is an undeniable fact that all government leaders, such as yourselves, should take gravely seriously. I strongly urge you to pass H.R. 12 and to create a climate policy committee and take the first step towards standing up for your communities against this mortal threat. Thank you, committee members, for your time. Committee members, for your time and attention, and thank you to all testifiers for actively participating in your democracy today.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. And I'm sorry, I definitely got the name wrong. Appreciate you correcting me. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you for joining us today. Next, we're going to go to Abigail Steffen.
Hello, my name is Abigail Steffen. I'm currently a constituent of Fairbanks, and I'm in my fourth year of undergrad at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I'm speaking in support of H.R. 12. At UAS, I focus much of my studies on climate change adaptation and policy, and if one thing is clear, it's that the Arctic feels the impact of climate change first. So, as an Arctic state, it is alarming and worrying that we do not have a statewide effort to recognize this fact and to prepare the state for the inevitable. We are past the point of finding the right time to implement adaptation and mitigation efforts. The truth is, right now is the best and only option we have. Every passing moment is only worsening our reality as the climate crisis continues to worsen. This committee is a great opportunity for the state to begin building a sustainable Alaska that is more prepared for our future. Mitigation and adaptation efforts must come from all sectors of the state. We are seeing efforts being made on local levels here in Alaska, but it's extremely important and fair to have the support and effort of the state behind them. So I implore you to pass House Resolution 12 and to stand up for the state and the constituents that you serve. The urgency has never been so pressing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. We appreciate that, Ms. Steffen. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, and I was just looking at the count that we have. So we have, I think, a little more than 20 people lined up to testify. So definitely think, and just want to announce it again in case you had just joined, that we probably have all of the individuals signed up that we'll be able to hear testimony from today. And then, you know, at a future date, we may take more testimony. But you can always send your testimony in to house.resources@akledge.org. That's house.resources@akledge.org. Next, we're going to go to Noah Williams, and then Aaron Brakel, and then we'll go down to Homer to Gordon Vernon.
Thank you, Chairs Tarr, Hopkins, and Lincoln, members of the committee. My name is Noah Williams. I'm here from District 34 representing myself. I am not a climate scientist, but fortunately, as evidenced by others' testimony today, such professionals are not in short supply. Scientists have known the implications of the man-made climate emergency for nearly 50 years now. And as of the time of the creation of this committee, should it succeed, it will become your responsibility and those of the eventual members to seek out these people and to interpret their counsel as draft legislation to be expediently codified. So I thank you and any other members of this eventual committee for accepting this responsibility, and I also thank you for hearing our pain, as my friend and fellow Sunrise Movement member Lynette mentioned earlier. To you, these actions are obvious. They represent a sensible, rational action in defense against a powerful, dangerous, and complex threat. I don't have to tell you that, unfortunately, our governor and a good chunk of the rest of the legislature don't give a damn about our generation's desperation for good jobs and a livable future. And unfortunately, on a national level, neither do either of the major political parties. They wouldn't even grant us a climate debate last year for the presidential primary. So I will leave you with a reminder of this deeply political issue. Beyond simply starting this community, I ask, will you have the guts to stand up to the greed and the corruption of the fossil fuel industry? Will you have the guts to stand up to your own parties when they're wrong on a national level, when they endorse candidates who are willing to take fossil fuel industry money and to compromise their positions, risking entire generations in the name of electability, when by cowardice, coercion, or corruption they refuse to take the actions necessary to implement the policies of the Green New Deal and get us completely off of fossil fuels by 2030? If asking these questions makes you or any of your colleagues uncomfortable, please compare this discomfort to the terror that currently hangs over our entire generation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams, for your testimony. I appreciate it today. Any questions for the testifier? And District 34 is Juneau, correct? Yes. Okay. Thank you for joining us today. Next on our list, Aaron Brakel.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Aaron Brakel. I live at 309 D Street in Douglas, Alaska. I grew up in this neighborhood. Had the great good fortune of that. Trying to decide this morning to start whether with a recognition of appreciation of the chairs or a land acknowledgement, and I think it's probably best to have a land acknowledgement. This land that we are guests here on is the land of the Akquan and the Takuquan people. So thank you, co-chairs Tarr and Lincoln. And all of the representatives here, I support the creation of this committee. I want to I got a couple quotes that I want to share with you, and hopefully a brief history lesson and exercise. The quote that I'd like to start with is something that Maya Angelou said, which is, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better." So, in 1975, they were remodeling Capitol School across the street here, and I was in third grade. And it stretched out a little bit. And they found lead in the building, and they couldn't, you know, schedule stretch, and so they couldn't bring us kids back into the school. And so we got spread out all around town. Churches, Harborview School. I want to welcome you to my third grade classroom. Sorry. I get a little emotional about this because it's just such a unique experience. But I want to tie the generations together a little bit with this. And I want to acknowledge my third grade teacher, Jenny Holman, and her student teacher that year, Susan Baxter. They're two giants of our local school system. And it's with great pleasure that I also acknowledge Representative Hammond as a school teacher, a public school teacher in Juneau for many years. In 1976, the Alaska Permanent Fund was created. And it was with the cries of the Capitol School children at recess ringing in their ears that the legislators did that. And they did what they could, the best they could, looking forward into the future with the situation they had. And thank goodness they did. And I also want to acknowledge Celia Evoy, Heather Evoy's daughter here, as a young person in the room. And so as we think about our generations, the last person who spoke before me was my son, Noah Williams. He's also the first person that was born in Alaska in this millennium, the second salmon stream down. He was born at the edge of that. I try hard to listen to what Noah has to say, because the generations that are upcoming are critically important. And Noah has said to me, "We are arguing about whether to cancel Netflix or Hulu when what Alaska really needs is a new job." So,
Mr. Brinkle,
I have a wrap up. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. So uncomfortable to have to interrupt you. It's very touching, but
I wanted to wrap up. Thank you. Which is, if you could take a moment for a brief exercise with me, with your pen in hand, to write this few words down. Whereas fossil fuels production is, and then I'd like you to take that with you in your minds as you think about our generations moving forward.
Thank you. I really appreciate your testimony. And again, sorry to, with our time, we have to cut you off. We're going to go to Homer, to Gordon Vernon, and then we're going to go to Margie, and I'm probably going to say this last name wrong, Dashezky, up in Anchorage, then Anna Hokinson. Mr. Vernon?
Speaking from Homer, Alaska. I'm speaking for myself and for my niece. She's new to the state, but she's very concerned about the earth heating up. And I was talking to her one day about her passion and her generation. I asked her how they felt. She said, "We understand we're screwed," but she didn't say it quite as diplomatically. She said it a lot more forcefully. So I would ask that the parents of the world that brought them into the world with that exact act would leave them with some hope for their future. And as Dunleavy has eliminated the one scientist that was working on climate change in Alaska, where we're up from 6 degrees from when we were born, I would ask that the state have my hope is that one branch of government would acknowledge the younger generation's concerns. We need a committee that realizes our role in the melting of Alaska. What's more, we need an integrated policy for state government. We can't have the governor denying it, the legislature complying with it, and an investment policy that's complicit with it. We must divest our permanent fund corporation of fossil fuels. Cramer today called for the death knell of this investment technique. BlackRock and Fidelity claim we're on the edge of reshaping financial investment to sustainable investing. I put solar panels on my house 2 summers ago and bought stock in the inverters that were attached to each panel. I made over 1,000% in that investment in less than a year, while the fossil fuels that I held sank. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for calling in from Homer. I appreciate your testimony. Anybody have any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you. We're going to go next to Margie Dashezky in Anchorage. Margie? Do we have Margie Dashezky? Dashezky?
Yes. Okay. I am here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Please go forward.
Yeah. I'm sorry that Anna is not able to join me right now. She's driving literally from school to join me to testify.
Is it possible to put me down a couple of spots so she can join me, or should I go ahead?
You can go ahead, and then we'll circle back to her because she's on the list before the cutoff time.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. My name is Margie Deshevsky. I'm grateful for the opportunity to testify in support of H.R. 12. I also want to thank the Denny and the People Whose Land I am on here in Anchorage and the Clinket People Whose Land this hearing is taking place on. I have the privilege to work with a bunch of inspiring youth leaders across our state, and Anna is one of them. So she will be able to speak for herself, but for those who aren't able to join you all right now because they're in school or otherwise busy, I'm calling on their behalf to urge you as a committee to pass this resolution on for a vote to take meaningful action today for Alaska's climate and to protect all of our futures. Specifically, I want to bring attention to the indigenous youth who are at the forefront both of experiencing climate impacts in our home state and also leading solutions for the state and world. Here in Alaska, their work really exemplifies the unifying intergenerational action for our future that I think we can really be a global leader in. In September alone, the Global Youth Climate Strikes turned out over 7 million people worldwide, and here in Alaska, we had youth-led climate strikes in Nome, Brevik Mission, Utqiagvik, Fairbanks, Homer, Anchorage, Palmer, Cordova, Haines, Sitka, Soldotna, and those are just the ones that I know about. In October, Native Alaskan youth wrote a declaration of climate emergency that was passed by the Elders and Youth Conference and then by the Alaska Federation of Natives. This action signals a need for other political bodies to follow suit, and this is an opportunity for the state legislature to do so by passing H.R. 12. I see many young people who are grappling with the severity of the climate crisis head on, and tackling such a massive issue is hard for all of us, and especially for young people. It can manifest as anxiety and have serious mental health implications. I know I struggle with my own grief over what we have lost and what we will risk losing due to climate change. And what we ask from you all today is to take action to support our youth who are calling for climate action so that Alaska's young leaders can stop worrying about this crisis and can go back to being kids that have a bright future to look forward to. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And you're calling from Anchorage?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And I'll move Anna to the bottom of the list and try to come back. I'll circle back to you here shortly. We're going to come here in the room to Captain Clayton Hamilton and then to Austin Tagman. But I don't know you by Austin, so okay.
Good afternoon. I'm Clayton Hamilton. I fish here in Juneau. I'm echoing some sentiments we've heard today, but it just seems like good governance to kind of anticipate some of the changes we're going to be facing. Personally, I participate in the Tanner crab fishery here, and I'm really struggling with whether to buy into that or not. You know, in the face of acidification, like, who knows what that's going to look like in 20, 30 years. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in fishing, and that's fine, but I need to know that we as a state are working together to face what's coming next. Earlier, I also heard the sentiment, what would Norway do? I wish that was a question we asked ourselves a lot more often. Thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate your testimony, Captain Hamilton. Any questions for the testifier? And you said you're Juneau?
Yes.
Juneau. Okay. Really appreciate your testimony. Thank you. Next is Austin.
Hello. My legal name is Austin Tagman, but I go by Nawea, and that's spelled N-A-A-W-E with an accent. I-Y-A-A. And thank you, Rep. Tarr and Representative Lincoln. And hello, Representative Hannon. She was my high school American government teacher. And here I am. I want to say, I've been thinking about a lot of things, and it's hard for me to distill it, but first and foremost, I want to think about, the fact that climate impacts will affect those with the least means the most, right? And so we have to think not about mitigation or like helping those with means adapt, we have to think about how do we create a just, a just way of ensuring that everyone makes it to the same place so that we aren't leaving people behind while we're trying to solve this problem. And I also think about, I guess I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony today. Representative Hannon, I think for her former student, has a comment.
I was going to say, I'm not going to let him off that easily. There's a follow. Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Tagaban, were you engaged and involved at the Alaska Federation of Natives this fall?
Yes, I
and
was there.
Can you speak to the Alaska Federation of Natives action on and concerns with climate change?
Yeah,
can
so...
share a firsthand perspective?
Yeah, and so this October, or well, not this October, this past October, 2019, I was able to help the youth who wrote the resolution at the Elders and Youth Conference, asking that the Alaska Federation of Natives declare a climate emergency, or what was it, a state of climate emergency in the state of Alaska, something like that. I can't. So it was a really interesting experience to be there on the floor while everyone debated, because it was an effort led by two indigenous, well, not two indigenous youth. I know two of them personally, though, so and I can't remember the other two youth's names, but I'm sure someone would help you find those people's names. And I think, for me, that was really moving because it was a recognition that what those youth had to say was important and that it is going to affect their lives in a way that matters. That, Any other questions?
Any follow-up?
Thank you, through the chair, and I'll just say that he was someone who touched my life when he was a student, and I'm so proud to have him here as a young leader in our community.
Yay. Thank you. It is great to have young people join us and be part of the process. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage to Anne Rapoport, and then we're going to go to Esau Sinek and then Louis Flora.
Good afternoon. My name is Anne Rapoport, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm here on behalf of myself, but very much keeping in mind my children, and hopefully someday I'll have grandchildren if we can keep our climate from burning us all up. I'm testifying in support, strong support of H.R. 12, the Special Committee on Climate Change. I feel this is a very, very important, essential first step that our legislature it seems to be making to address climate change. I've been a resident of Alaska for over 40 years. I've seen accelerating climate change in my life. You know, there used to be that old phrase, oh, you never see glaciers melt. Well, we do. Look at Portage Glacier. I've seen it recede, over a mile. A visitor center that was built specifically to highlight it, you can't even see the glacier from anymore. We have a growing season in Anchorage that's over 30 days longer than when I came here in 79. We've had very unusual weather patterns, really warm December, colder January. We have our villages eroding. We have infrastructure, roads and buildings that have been threatened. This is tremendous economic impact to our state, and we have enough problems with our economy. It also presents public safety hazards. There are things like more frequent and worse wildfires. I live on the hillside, and everybody's very concerned about we don't have ways out. If we have another fire like McHugh, it could be even worse. But we can do something about it, and I'm really proud of the legislature for looking at H.R. 12. We need something like this so that we can start to take more actions to highlight solutions and also to plan for mitigation and adaptation measures. We need to have solutions like the ability to incentivize renewable energy solutions. My husband and I added solar panels to our house 2.5 years ago. We're really excited to be helping in that way. And around the U.S. we're also seeing tremendous climate change things. Some people say, oh, the climate always changes. Yeah, it does, but these are human issues and activities that are just really increasing the rate of this change exponentially, and we've got to put it to a stop. it's just not sustainable. I'm very proud that my city, Anchorage, has adopted a climate action plan. Appreciate Mayor Kimmel's comments earlier today. And I would like to be proud of my state as well, so I ask you to approve H.R. 12 and establish a special committee on climate change that can help us take action. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rappaport. Appreciate your testimony today. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you. And I think everyone heard that you were calling from Anchorage. We are going to now go to, this is on our off-nets, Isao Sinek from Shishmaref. And I feel like I could be mispronouncing that name. Apologies. And then Louis Flora from Homer.
Hey, thank you. Wanga Kagigluilak Kigdamigurunga Nupiagurunga. My name is Kagigluilak. My English name is Isao Sinek. I am from Shishmaref, Alaska, and I am a Nuka. Ever since I was born, I've been seeing the effects of climate change in my community, in my home of Shishmaref, Alaska, 123 air miles north of Nome, west of Kotzebue, and east of Wells. You know, it's an everyday thought that, to me, my one and only home, where I was raised alongside my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, my aunties and uncles, and my parents, my grandparents, will soon be gone because of climate change. You know, the people that live and are our representatives and our legislators, you know, you guys are doing hard work, but you guys live in Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau and these other places, and you get to go home. But for me, my home is being threatened because of climate change. You know, my one and only home where I get to see my family, my friends, my cousins, my grandparents that raised me, my mom Clara and my papa Shelton. You know, our home is being eroded because of climate change. And, you know, I am here in support of House Resolution 12 establishing a climate change committee, but also to include youth voices on this committee, because we are the future of Alaska. We are going to be the ones that will be taking these leadership positions all over the state of Alaska and elsewhere in the world. So it's also very important to get youth representation on this committee, you know, and to also have local representation, not just authorities of lawmakers and representatives and senators. You know, we have to have actual people that are being affected by climate change, the indigenous people, Alaska Natives, American Indians that are being affected firsthand by climate change. And I just want to say thank you all for your hard work, and I'm here in support of House Resolution 12. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sinek. Any questions for the testifier? Well, this is Representative Tarr. I just wanted to add that I have read about work that you're doing, and I'm glad you were able to join our committee hearing today all the way from far away. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Louis Flora.
Hi, good afternoon, Co-Chair Tarr and Lincoln and House Resources Committee. My name is Louis Flora. I'm from Homer, Alaska. I work for the Alaska Center, and I'm also a commercial Bristol Bay driftnet fisherman. And I'm testifying in support of H.R. 12 today. I think this is an issue that really shouldn't just be on the shoulders of the Alaska State Legislature, but right now it kind of lands squarely on your shoulders as the state administration has taken the liberty of repealing the work of the Climate Action Leadership Team under the previous administration, which produced 36 pages of recommendations, and it was informed by the efforts of a diverse stakeholder group, which included the head of BP in Alaska, or a leader in BP, and folks from utilities statewide, and climate researchers, fishing, commercial fishing interests, and others. And additionally, right now we find ourselves with the Trump administration has just issued a proposed rulemaking that would curtail federal agencies in their cumulative impact analysis when they're undergoing an environmental impact statement. And that really targets climate change impacts, looking at, you know, project, anything that requires any major action that requires federal permitting, rescinding the ability or the requirement that agencies look at cumulative impact. So HR 12 would go a long ways towards putting that in place for the state legislature. It's important that you have a special committee and not a caucus or a task force. And I believe that's because the special committee can hear bills, look at the, you know, impact, climate impact of legislation and proposed legislation. So thank you all for your work, and I wish you good luck this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flora. I appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Tuck has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good to hear your voice, Mr. Flora. Hey, just curious, was there any, can you share some of the recommendations that may have come out of that climate action leadership team?
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. And there's a number, they broke it out into multiple sections dealing with municipal actions and, you know, looking at land use recommendations. There was a recommendation to investigate potential for a carbon tax in Alaska. And I'll be happy to provide your office with the full report after the hearing. But I, you know, there's others on the line. I believe Mayor Kimmel is still on there that were part of the leadership team that could address that much clearer than I can.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Flora.
And perhaps we can find that document too, and we'll post it and then send it to members so it's handy. I think it's been removed from the website, but I think we have a PDF of it, and so we will look for that. Okay, thank you, Mr. Flora. Any other questions for Mr. Flora? Okay, then moving on here in the room to Doug Woodby and then Mindy O'Neill. Then we have one more individual up in Anchorage, Vicki Kennedy, and then we'll come back and we'll finish in the room. And then Anna, that we had to skip over, or Anna, before, hang in there and we'll come back around to you. So, Mr. Woodby? Oh, had to leave. Okay. Miss O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Mindy O'Neill. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm here representing myself today. I'm happy to see that the Alaska State Legislature, the governing body of the only Arctic state in the nation, is considering a resolution for a climate subcommittee. Unfortunately, I don't think this resolution goes far enough. A climate committee needs to be permanent, regularly scheduled committee of the House and a regular permanent committee of the Senate. These problems of coastal erosion, wildfires, permafrost thaw, rising temperatures, infrastructure vulnerability, national security, and invasive species, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are not going away. And the most recent attempt at a similar idea, put together by Governor Walker and dismantled by the current governor just last year, a short-sighted political move that left Alaskans out in the cold. It's too bad, too, as we have indigenous leaders with traditional knowledge and world-renowned researchers and scientists on standby to assist. Although the work and research does not stop as a consequence of political theater or sheer neglect, neither do the alarming changes to our climate. As international Arctic communities are taking bold action, Alaska continues to be in a stop and repeat cycle that is destructive and irresponsible. In 2017, I completed a master's program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where I assessed the policy and politics of relocating Alaska Native villages due to climate change. The most outstanding conclusion of my project, other than the sheer inadequacy of government structure to even address climate impacts on communities, was how much climate change affects all areas of our lives and all areas of governing. This analysis showed that most, if not all, state agencies are confronted with climate impacts, and that these agencies were disconnected from one another and from the legislature and the administration to influence policy or even work within their defined mission on climate issues. For some reason, real action continues to be debatable, but before too long, we'll miss the window of opportunity to make good decisions that govern how we care for our earth, animals, resources, and our people. This means loss of economic growth, profits, and even lives. We'll soon just be in reaction mode. I commend the sponsors of the resolution and encourage the body to make a committee as relevant as the resources or finance committees and as permanent as climate change. In closing, I'll leave with a quote from Buddha, who said, "The trouble is, you think you have time." Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. O'Neill. Any questions?
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Ms. O'Neill. Can you make your master's project available for us to review? Thank you.
And if you want to share it with us, we can share it with committee members?
Sure.
Okay. Get more mileage out of that document. Thank you for joining us today. Okay. Next, we're going to go to Vicki Kennedy, and I believe is on the off-net calling from Juneau. Ms. Kennedy?
Yeah, good morning. I, too, want to thank the committee for their hard work with this Resolution 12. It's something we do need to look at, and before I say much more, I do want to thank all the young people in the room and online and around our state. I want to apologize because I'm in my 66th year, and my generation, we really dropped the ball. A lot of people gave up, became yuppies instead of the hippies that were going to change everything and make it nice and keep it clean. But, you know, it's not too late. Buddha knows it's not too late. So I thank you for being involved with our government, and I thank every one of our representatives for working hard on this. At a time when the budget is in crisis, and that seems to be what's on everybody's mind, money, 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 it's going to be difficult. But, you know, if we can go even one step farther than Governor Sarah did and bring cases of cookies out to the coast because their villages are washing into the sea, I mean, that'll be an improvement. So I'm keeping the faith and I'm keeping the hope. And I do thank you for Resolution 12. And I'm going to be supporting it. And I think the governor is going to support it, too. We're going to look at more renewable energy. I have faith in him, too. He loves this state. Just remember, the love is what brought us here. The love is what's going to keep us here. When the money's gone, the beauty and the resources in this state will still be here. So thank you very much for listening to me and all the other testifiers in our great state.
Thank you, Ms. Kennedy. We appreciate your testimony today. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, next we're going to go to Heather here in the room, and I just want to double check Evoy, right? Evoy, I couldn't remember.
Namaste, Heather Evoy Dwayu. Simshianyu, Lakshgik Diptegu, Ketchikan Diwal Wadku, Adak Juno Diwal Zogu. Good day to you all, co-chairs Tar and Lincoln. Thank you for having me here. My name is Heather Evoy. I'm Simshian from the Eagle Clan. I'm from Ketchikan. My family is from Metlakatla. And I live here in Juneau. And my daughter's Tlingit Immersion Preschool was closed today due to the road conditions. So I can say that I am here representing myself and my kiddos and all future generations to come. And I just would like to thank Rep. Josephson for introducing this Resolution 12. I am in support of this resolution. I do think that a few others who have testified before me have mentioned that, well, this is a great step, it is not enough. And one of those individuals happened to be one of my former professors, Mike Heckers. And so on that note, you know, Alaska is really at the forefront of seeing the impacts of the climate crisis. And I think our university has a very unique opportunity to really be at the forefront of climate change research. You know, I think that pretty much every piece of legislation that comes through this building really could go through a climate change committee. You know, we have our budget cuts, and our ferry system is in dire straits right now, so to speak. And, you know, that concerns me because we had the ocean acidification monitoring program on there. You know, tribes and municipalities are really doing a great job at adapting their climate adaptation plans. I was fortunate enough to attend the first Alaska Just Transition Summit a couple weeks ago in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I would urge all of the legislators in this building, not just folks who get appointed to this committee if it is implemented, to really look into what a just transition framework is, and really seeing how
getting away from an extractive resource-based economy to a more regenerative one can actually, you know, create economic development for our great state of Alaska. My ancestors have been here for thousands of years and were the original stewards of this land. And so I do what I can to work hard to protect our future. And I want to say a big thank you to all of you for being here and doing the job that you do. In Deutschland.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Representative Hannon has a question.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Evoy. Good to see you. I don't know about the ocean acidification monitoring that the Alaska Marine Highway System was doing. Can you either share a little more insight with us or access some resources for us on what project work they were doing and where that leaves us with monitoring?
Yeah, I don't have that information on me currently, but I'd be happy to forward that follow along.
Share it with the chair, then she'll share it with us.
Be happy to.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Tucker had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I may have missed it, but can you introduce your
co-testifier here. This is Celia. This is my daughter. She's 3. And like I said, she's in the Tlingit Immersion Program here that TNH created, which, you know, I have to say language and being tied to the land and is really incredible. And so I'm an advocate for language support in any way that you guys can offer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you, and thank you to Ms. Claire for joining us, too. Our sister,
Celia.
Miss Celia, not Ms. Claire. Okay, next is Doug Robbins. Hi.
Thank you. So, my name is Doug Robbins. From Anchorage, House District 28, Senate District N. I'm a retired petroleum geologist with 15 years of oil company management experience. As a retirement project over the last decade, I've spent many thousands of hours, I think, studying climate change. Turned my attention to that in retirement. I support the creation of a standalone climate committee through H.R. 12. To develop policies for adaptation, mitigation of climate change, and to work towards an Alaska future without oil. Exactly a year ago, I was in Juneau, and I approached Senator Chris Birch, who is a public climate change denier, and spoke with him for a half an hour about climate change. He was a retired mining engineer, and we spoke the same language of data. And after my half-hour presentation, Senator Birch simply said, "I didn't know all that." And I left it there. I didn't think that. I thought that was the end of it. But later learned recently that he reached out to a prominent state geologist and had a repeated series of conversations regarding climate change and was looking towards reaching out to the Resource Committee to see what could be done about climate change. And I understand that the day before he died, he was on the phone with his geologist talking about climate change. I deeply mourn the loss of Senator Birch, and I mourn the loss of the progress we made towards a mutual understanding of what the problem is, what can be done. We need forward-looking policies. According to a 2015 audit, two-thirds of the state's greenhouse gas emissions are occurring on the North Slope from fuel gas usage. We've got the second-order impacts of our exported fossil fuels on global greenhouse gas emissions. We've got to look forward to not only how do we counter that, but also what can we do about the challenge of an Alaskan economy without oil. I've received the answer sometimes of, well, what can we do? My response to that is, well, do you vote? All of us can only do what is within our own scope, but if we do have a common understanding and have everybody on board, we can do what we can and necessarily rely on others to do what they can to get to a future where we're not looking at catastrophic change. we will have impacts to Alaska. We are currently already having impacts to Alaska in terms of wildfires, impacts to fisheries, impacts to coastal communities, impacts to our nature and subsistence lifestyles. The Fourth National Climate Assessment says we will have 2 to 3 times the number of wildfires in Alaska by mid-century. The impacts are serious. I'm probably out of time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you for your time and thank you for listening.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing for our colleague that we have all missed since his passing. Appreciate that story. We're going to go back and see if Anna was able to come back online.
Hi. Thank you for your time. I'm Anna Hawkinson. I'm 16 and I live in Anchorage, Alaska. And today I'm testifying on behalf of the statewide network of high school students invested in climate justice. We're known as Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. We're asking you today to support H.R. 12 to install a climate justice committee that will take charge of climate justice in our state. As we've seen in the past multiple decades, wildfires, fishing industries, melting permafrost, it's all been affected by climate change and global warming. Here in Anchorage and all across the state, we've been holding climate strikes as youth, and one of our asks is that you establish House Resolution 12 to resolve these issues. The most general word I can find to say is that it's repulsing, despite the evidence that surrounds us, that we children are expected to preserve the entirety of our planet. And I thank you for being here today to try to resolve this injustice.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate that. Any questions for the testifier? Are there any other individuals online or in the room that wish to testify at this time? Okay, that is helpful. We got through the queue. So I'm going to go ahead at 2:50 and close public testimony. Testimony at another time. That can certainly happen. We do have the bill on the calendar for Monday. And, of course, we'll have to check with the co-chair and the bill sponsor to see what the next movement will be. And just in wrap-up, I wanted to announce again the hearing, if you weren't able to participate or want to send additional comments to us, house.resources@akledge.gov. I think I said org earlier in one of mine, and that was a mistake. So, again, it's house.resources@akledge.gov, and those will get into the public record. Today we had, I think, if my count is accurate, 36 individuals call in today in the public testimony, all in support. We heard from Matsu, Anchorage, Shishmara, Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, Unalaska, Homer, and Houston. But I also do want to make note in our packets that are published online that there were individuals who wrote letters of opposition. So those are available. There's both packets of the opposition as well as the letters of support are available online. I think there's actually 3 packets of letters of support, maybe fewer opposition. But those are available online. And so I just want to make sure we're trying to be as inclusive as possible for all of the comments and all the different ways that we're getting them. The follow-up items that I heard in the questions that came out of public testimony, and we'll do our best to find those and ask those individuals who testified and said they would share to please follow up with us. Members were interested in that fourth climate assessment that a testifier mentioned, the master's thesis from Miss Mindy O'Neill. Dick Farnell talked about some things that were happening in Norway and said he would send those along. We talked about the Anchorage climate plan, the plan that was developed last fall, the climate action plan under Governor Walker. We'll try to find that and share it. A 2018 National Infrastructure Report was mentioned, and then the Marine Highway work on ocean acidification. So we will try to find all of those resources and appreciate the testifiers in getting us any of that information that we can share with members. Do any members have any comments or questions or any other items we need to discuss? Does the bill sponsor staff have anything they'd like to say? Okay, so then the item we didn't take up was House Bill 27. Nothing's changed since the amendment deadline we had last Monday where we have the four amendments. We'll try to bring that up on Monday. And then on H.R. 12, this that we just heard today, if you have amendments, they are due by 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then we'll get those distributed for potential consideration in the meeting on Monday. Okay? Okay, well, a huge thank you. The best part about this job is hearing from Alaskans and heard from so many from all across the state. A huge thank you for people participating in your government. And we look forward to seeing and hearing from folks on Monday. If we have no other business, we will wish everyone a happy weekend, a good weekend, and we will adjourn this committee at 2:54 p.m.